Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
This episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Away. Away makes first-class luggage at coach prices that allow you, the consumer and traveler, look at you little traveler, to charge your phone on the go. For $20 off a suitcase right now, go to awaytravel.com/ALN and use the promo code ALN and start traveling in style the right way, the Away way. Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is and the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects. So you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably took
it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
The flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well, I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety. Yep. Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code about last night for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. This weekend, I will be at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles, California with Dane Cook for one show only, 7 p.m., the Dolby Theater, Los Angeles, California, baby, big L.A. show, and the end of Dane's Tell It Like It Is tour, which has been a fucking blast. Thanks to everybody that came out to the shows. Dane's fans, thanks for being new fans of mine. The shows were killer. We were in Florida. Jacksonville and Tampa last week, and then Atlanta at the Tabernacle, where Bill Burr did his one of my favorite specials, Walk Your Way Out. Unbelievable venue. Cannot wait to perform locally here in LA at the Dolby on Saturday. Get your tickets at DaneCook.com. And then next week, I will be in LA for the whole week, and I have a shit ton of LA shows. Comedy Store, Factory, and improv. So check AdamRayComedy.com for tickets. And of course, November 29th and 30th, I will be in Omaha at the Funny Bone. At the Omaha Funny Bone, November 29th and 30th. And then December 1st, two shows with Adam Carolla at the Belly Up in San Diego. All that ticket info at AdamRayComedy.com. More tour dates to be added. December, January, and February are already pretty booked up. So go get your tickets. Come see me. Portland, Phoenix, Seattle, D.C. for New Year's at the Improv. All that ticket info at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams is going to be at the Ontario Improv this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Ontario Improv, also local. Go see Brad. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. Today's episode is a good one. You guys know this guy from the roast battle. You know him from Kill Tony. You know him from his own podcast, Jeremiah Wonders. And his Hot Off the Press comedy album with Pat Regan, Regan and Watkins. It's Jeremiah Watkins. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. He's a rising star in the comedy biz, and there's not anything he can't do. And this episode was just a hilarious, fun chat, all things Jeremiah. So enjoy the fuck out of this one, and follow Jeremiah at Jeremiah Stand Up on Instagram. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Ailen Podcast. Go get my album, Read the Room, on Spotify, Amazon, and iTunes, and pre-order Songs for the People, my debut comedy song album coming out December 13th. You can pre-order that shit November 29th. Just giving you a heads up. Going to be teasing some songs here in the next couple weeks. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com because I'm doing the Adam Ray giveaway for the rest of the year. Just thanking you guys for your support as we near 500 episodes. Which we'll conclude with Dana Carvey, by the way. It's maybe the best episode we've ever done. It's so funny. As Brad prepares to leave the podcast, big changes coming. Excited to announce those soon. We're closing 2019 out with a bang. So email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your favorite ALN moments, how you got into the pod, where you get it, why you love it, and I will send you some Adam Ray merch. Of course, include your address and your hoodie and shirt size, okay? Comment and rate the podcast on iTunes. Those comments and reviews help us. 5-star rating, comment on the charts. And tell your friends and family that the About Last Night podcast is 500 episodes deep and jamming and is only going up from here, baby. So, again, thank you guys for the love and support. We are 3 episodes away from 500 and Brad leaving for the time being. Because, you know, you never say never. I think Bieber said that. Don't forget to check out She-Ra Season 4 streaming on Netflix right now. I play She-Ra's talking horse sidekick, Swiftwind. So go check that shit out on Netflix. But I think that's it. So we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Jeremiah Watkins.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it.
Phased out, and it's sad, but...
Wait. What? Which one?
Nick Nolte.
Not Busey. Because I get those mixed up.
Nick Nolte is your go-to.
No, it's
your favorite.
It's one of my favorites, only because my voice becomes so unrecognizable, like out of my register, that it's like, oh, I don't... Like, if you were just listening to it...
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know what's happening right now.
That's a soda Adam just opened.
No, it's not. It's
him
a sparkling
farting.
Dasani.
Okay.
Dude, not him farting. Who would ever confuse a Dasani with
a
fart?
I wish your fart smelled like Dasani.
Me too.
It'd be better. Now, are you doing like old Nolte? Are you doing like old Nolte? Because
what's young Nolte?
I don't know what young Nolte
is. It's not as weathered as...
But old Nolte is like...
Yeah.
Really gravelly.
Yeah. Old Nolte is...
his throat's almost closed off entirely. And it's really intense. So. I also have to do the face along with it to really get in.
You'll have to, because it's one of those things.
You're like, I feel like we should all be smokers, like with, yeah, with the thing,
oh,
in,
yeah,
the throat.
Yeah. Dude, the first time I saw one of those, I was 9 years old. I was with my grandparents in Ada, Oklahoma, playing bingo with all the other old people.
Yeah.
And there was a guy with a voice box. And there were so many great fights. I think I've probably mentioned this before. Like, you know, one woman was like, I'm blackout's my game. I'm really good at blackout. And her husband's like, you're not good at it. It's not a skill. All you have to do is put the beans on the number and you have the numbers. And then this guy with a voice box won bingo, couldn't find his little, what do you call
it? No.
Microphone, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just had misplaced it on the table amongst all the beans and cards. And so he's just like, and I'm like, hey, does anyone want to check on Alan? He's freaking out, right? He's like, he's waving. I was like, I think he needs a drink. Maybe is he choking? Does he need a drink? And all of a sudden he just goes, bingo, right? And just fucking, yeah, it was amazing. I never did.
Just searching,
by the way,
for it.
Just had never seen like an intensity in a man who,
right,
was like,
yeah,
I know I can't speak. That's not the issue. I'm trying to win, you know, I don't know,
yeah,
$50.
And like for him, that's like, that's his life. Like he was probably searching for that voice box. Like, yeah, like if we just woke up, we were somehow underwater.
Yeah.
Like just like with the same intensity.
Which is kind of what your Nolte looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's struggling to breathe. Yeah.
I can't do it.
You know what I love about you?
I'm falling into the deeps.
You know what I love about your impressions? They're spot on, but you contort your face like Melissa does, where it's like, you know, like you can.
I try to. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think, you know, we all look at like the Dana or the Jim Carrey impressionist, where it's like you kind of have to, you know.
It helps with the impression.
I think it helps get into it rather than looking like a psycho and just like,
right,
doing the voice and, yeah, and like expressionless.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And I mean, your fans now are so great. I saw on your Twitter that someone made like a painting or something of all your characters.
There's this great artist, Alex Smith. He
put quarterback together, who broke his leg.
No, different guy.
Oh, different
guy.
Alex. Okay,
yeah, different,
okay,
artist.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He put together 30 of my characters on like this
just
30? Marvel,
wow,
universe.
Dude, fucking try to achieve something.
I know. I need to amp it up a little,
yeah,
bit.
Dude, it's Hollywood, man. Okay.
Come on.
There's people
get
out there
to
with
it, 31 Jeremiah.
Characters and 31 flavors.
I know. You know, I'll get back to the drawing board. Yeah, he put together like, because he asked me, he hit me up. He was like, hey, I love your work. If you have any art ideas, I'd love to do something for you. I go,
can I paint you? And you're like, what else you got?
Who else? Yeah.
What about all your characters? Check.
Like, let's go.
That, yeah, was a, real cool thing, because it also was like, I mean, it just gave you a, I mean, I'm sure like you just move on so quickly from one to the next in a Kill Tony or whatever show you're doing where you get to, you know, put these on display, but it's like to see them all laid out like that where you just kind of like, whoa, I guess I've been
working at this,
because,
yeah,
you kind of,
yeah,
like, you know, we all don't look in the rearview mirror, which I think,
yeah,
is a good thing. You're just like,
thing,
on the next,
on
thing,
next thing,
what is next, how do I keep stacking the chips? But every now and then, like, you gotta kind of check the lens and be like, oh yeah, like look where I was and now I'm here. So that's a kind of a cool moment.
Yeah, no, I definitely, like, even a few years ago, I couldn't, like, some of those characters, well, a decent amount of them did not exist a few years ago. So, mm-hmm, it's kind of cool to see.
Does the,
like,
city
grow.
Does the city dictate what character, like when I got to do Plano with you guys and you had George W. Bush, which was so good, because I mean, like, I saw you looking like Jerry like this, and then literally 20 minutes later had colored his hair, which was like such a small detail, but quite honestly, like, you had a bomber jacket, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd found a Dukakis pin. What was it? No, a Bush.
No, it was a Cheney Bush legit,
yeah,
running,
wow,
made pin from.
And you got that the day of, yeah?
2004. I got that. No, I had found that like a week before when I was out of town at like a thrift store. I always go to thrift stores.
You,
like,
stole it from like a war veteran or something is what you said?
Yeah. I peeled it, yeah, off a guy. He's like, don't take that. That's
it's all I have.
Favorite thing I own.
Sorry, Nick Nolte.
Sorry.
Gotta get out of here.
Yeah, that really sold it, because then it was like, and then the voice, obviously. But so was being in Texas, that played a role in.
Yeah. Like we, so I had been wanting to do that for a while. Also, when we do certain shows on the road and the budget only allows maybe just me to go, that will affect, mm-hmm, what I decide to do as well. Because like we did Fort Wayne, Indiana recently.
Yeah.
And I was Kid Rock.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just a funny, weird place to do it. And Tony's like, why? Why, Kid Rock, are you here? I was like, well, my biggest demographic is here. So, you know, all my fans are here. And I'm pretty excited to perform for, yeah, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah. There, yeah, you go. It is. And good on you for having the foresight. There's so many times I'm flying to a city, and like as I get there, I go, oh, I should have done this, or I should have planned this, or I should have done, like, that's so great that you can like look ahead on the calendar like that and be in a thrift shop a week and a half out and be like, oh, I'm going to Texas next week.
Well, we have to, because sometimes, like, especially when we did like our summer tour, it would kind of creep up on us. Like, mm-hmm. I would have to sit down with like Joel Jimenez, who's our drummer, when we go on the road, like, we'd have to have meetings like, yo, we're about to hit 5 cities in a week. We can't just throw this together.
Yeah.
Week of, otherwise it's gonna suck. And we always try to put a lot of effort into it. Like, we did one that was like a highlight for me. We have these feminist characters. I have this character named Feminist Stacy.
Yeah.
We did that in Portland, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
Because the crowd was like
turning on you.
No. They were so into it.
Oh, loved it.
They're so into it because the stuff I was saying as Feminist Stacy, they were like, yeah.
Oh, because you. Oh, okay.
It's
yeah.
So amazing.
All right, now I get it.
I'm pro femininity. I'm super feminist. Yeah.
Like, what kind of things would you say that got them riled up?
Well, I came out like seething anger. Like, and Tony's like, "Whoa, Feminist Stacy, what's going on?" He's like, "I just heard about the abortion law that passed." You know, like, and I just want to say one thing: our body, our choice. And the theater's just like, yeah.
Oh my god.
Dude, it was
when you stop for a second and go, is this turning into a rally? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Should I quit stand up and just do this at the beginning of every
show? I'm good at this.
Can Feminist Stacy run for office? Yeah. Like,
in Portland, she could become the mayor then.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
Does Tony not have any idea what you guys are going to do?
Yeah, that's part of it. People now expect that
there is that dynamic, right? By the way, we're talking about Kill Tony, the number one live podcast. Yeah. In the world, right?
Check it out. Know what it is, basically, if you don't know, comedians of any level can sign up to do the show, mm-hmm. put their name in a bucket. They're drawn out randomly to come up and do 60 seconds from front of a panel. And what I tell people who are not familiar with the show, it's like if the Tonight Show with the Roots, if the Roots had to commit to different characters every week,
yeah.
if the house band had to commit to different characters, and that's what we do.
And then also, I wouldn't say you roast them, but you definitely... It can get to that point.
Raw feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think people, again, like, I don't know when the show picked up true momentum to where it is in its current state where, A, you just get every big comic on to guest judge or, I guess, guest critique.
Be on the panel. Whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
With Red Band and Tone. And I think it is, like, even in Plano, there was a good, balance that you guys have of, being honest with them. If they, like, one guy came up there and didn't try because he like was like, I didn't think I was going to get called. And so you guys rightfully, bailed him a little harder because it was like, hey, man. And then I tried to, subside some of that with like, yeah, man, like still kind of like giving him a hard time, but being like, maybe prep next time because look what happened. Like, you could have gotten some out of this instead. You wasted everybody's time.
Yeah, you wasted an opportunity. You wasted an opportunity. Rather than taking advantage of something.
It is... It's got to make you feel good to sometimes you see open micers where this is their fucking shot and they go up there and they've really thought about it and they've showed up for weeks because it is completely random. It's not like, if someone's been coming for 5 weeks, okay, let's finally get them on stage. Yeah. No, it's random. So and then you see someone go on and then finally do well. Like it's got to make you feel really great that they took advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's always good to see people who I already am familiar with in the scene who are like working hard and then they come up and kill it. I'm like, heck yeah, that's awesome. Because once they're up there, that's a weird line. Like when I'm in character, like I sometimes say whatever as that character, and even if I know the person, like I still will contribute stuff where I'm like, that wasn't, I don't know.
Have you guys done any shows in KC where you're from?
We did. Yeah.
Like, what is it like to now go home after like the last couple of years of just getting a little more, experience under your belt, a little more
career momentum? What's it like to tell Chris Porter, fuck you, there's other comics?
There's a new
Kansas
king of KC.
City. Yeah. Hey,
it's George Brett, Jeremiah, then Chris Porter.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Well, fuck you, Chris Porter.
That's @ChrisPorter on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. I am Chris Porter.
Yeah.
I want to give him a shout
out. Kansas City Wars. Turf War. I went back to, it was actually really cool. We, as part of the summer tour for Kill Tony, we performed at this theater in Lawrence, Kansas, which is like the college town. It's where KU's at.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like where my sister graduated from, and I had a bunch of buddies who went there, and it's like 20-30 minute drive from like my mom's house, cool. where she lives. Nice. So
I don't like the way you said that, Brad.
Nice, dude.
Nice.
I'm familiar. I've been there. Yeah,
yeah. I've been going to your mom's house for years.
Oh, God. Yikes. Perv table for one.
What? She makes a great apple pie.
Yeah, see, there's nothing Nolte can say in complimentary.
God, I cannot keep doing that. That's good.
It's brutal on
that
your throat.
That fucks up your voice. I got to sing
it. Imagine being Nick Nolte.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It just like.
It just continuously just gets worse and worse.
Is that from heroin or cigarettes? What's that from?
No.
Pain.
Going down on women?
I don't know.
Just getting throat cancer. Just over and over.
Michael Douglas.
Is that how he got it?
Yeah. Michael Douglas claimed that's how he got throat cancer was he went down on too many women.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. So he wasn't saying like
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I was gonna, yeah.
You got that cancer pussy.
You got that cancer pussy.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify because I thought he literally was like, yeah, I got it from eating pussy. And it's like, hey, I'm right here and people know you're married to me. Can you maybe make up a story?
Yeah, right. Right. Zorro, more like horror.
Gross. So you got that and then... Yeah, that's got to be like, did the doctors tell him that, or did he go, I'm going to go on a little humble brag right here. I just ate too much pussy, everybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably a little bit of both. Douglas seems like he doesn't give a fuck.
And that's when DJ Khaled was like, yo, that's why I don't eat pussy. Another one.
Yeah.
Probably.
He came out in that article saying that he doesn't do that.
Did the KC people come out for the hometown show? Did you go on a big, like, blast it out to everybody? Or were you like, you know what? I'm going to let them... Like, the people who know are going to come. You know what I'm saying? Because those early hometown shows, you're like, everybody, you stand at the top of a mountain. Everyone, I'm doing stand-up.
Right.
I'm back home.
Excuse me, all. I'm here to perform for you. I'm back.
I'm back. Have you missed me?
Well, what was kind of funny about, to rewind, before the Lawrence thing happened with Kansas, I had just headlined there in March earlier this year. And that was like a big homecoming for me. That was me telling everybody, come, I've got new jokes to tell you. I'm so excited. Dorothy's back home. Oh, boy. You know, so that was like my big moment which was funny about that. The club that was supposed to open there, which is now open, which my buddy Dustin Coffin runs the comedy club of Kansas City.
Shout out to Dustin.
Yeah, shout out to Dustin.
He's doing great.
So I was supposed to be the opening weekend, which is going to be a big deal. Sure. You know? They didn't get their one of their licenses up and running in time.
License.
Their plumbing. Their plumbing wasn't up to service yet. So they're like, we can't.
We can
have
sell booze,
in here.
But if you
there's no way
shit
to go.
Piss,
there's some buckets out back.
Yikes. Yeah,
so
that's
they
a big one.
Open it. So we went to I ended up headlining at this flea market in a different part of town.
Yes.
And it was just it was the running joke of the weekend where like I had a lot of people that came out to see me.
Very cool.
And I was like, this is my big homecoming weekend. I'm performing at a flea market. And
the show must go on, right?
And the show must go on.
That's cool that you didn't just cancel it. Because I guess people had...
I didn't want to do that. I was like, it's already too late. Like, I already have my trip booked.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
How was the show?
People were excited. The shows were great. I did 4 shows there, and it was super fun.
You've done enough. I mean, with Stand Up on the Spot, which is another show that you run at the store, which we've mentioned before, but... An amazing show where audience throws out suggestion. Comics are improvising their sets based on the words that get yelled out, which is a great opportunity for us to write on stage, which I think we all do, you know, some more than others. But like to truly have a show set up for that. And I know Rogan's even publicly talked about how much material he gets from that show. And
it's one of my favorite shows to do. It truly is.
But whether it's that or Roast Battle or Kill Tony, it's like I feel like you've developed this mentality of, you know, fearlessness of just nothing scares you and nothing that you won't try, which I think is something that every comic should embody in some fashion so that you are just always getting better if you're not afraid to take a chance or a risk. But I'm sure that played into where you were like, all right, if we have to do it here, we'll do it here.
That's
I'll make it work.
I try to not be fazed by anything anymore. It's like curveballs are just like, okay, here we go.
I grab a different bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there something that's happened in a show? Oh, wait. You probably haven't been on since that happened, even though I think that was over a year ago, when the guy on mushrooms attacked you.
Yeah,
I don't think you have been. The last time you were on, I think it was over a year ago.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, but that happened in 2017, I think. 16 or 17. So I can't remember if we talked about this on the last.
Well, if we have new listeners, go back, watch a clip.
What if we didn't, by the way, in 3 years? Nobody knew after
like, we all know.
Yeah. Sandra Bullock, who gives a shit? that was crazy. And I think as far as live comedy goes, where the whole anything can happen, like, you probably won't see anything like that that'll top that, right?
No, the only thing that I had outside of being attacked by somebody who was drunk and on mushrooms was... I had a weird incident where a guy was claiming to be a Green Beret in the audience that was heckling me, and he ended up like punching me in the nuts. He sack tapped me while the show. Yeah, that was very.
Whoa! Is that why you tape all your sets now? Because when that happened, you're like
the threat of physical assault.
Yeah.
Well, what was kind of funny about that was I got some security footage from the store that I guess I wasn't allowed to get, and so I had to pull that, and I had to get it animated to be put back up later because I had some higher ups at the store be like, "How did you get that footage?" And I was like, Like somebody gave it to me, and I didn't want that person to get in trouble.
Whoa. Yeah,
and they didn't know, and I didn't know. It was just out of ignorance. Like I was like, we can't put that out there. They're like, no, it's a safety hazard. It's all this stuff. I was like, okay, I'll take it down. I won't want anybody getting in trouble. Over
Right, right, right.
So I had it animated and put it back up. So with the audio.
So what's this story with the Green Beret?
He was just this guy who right away he literally was in the room only during my set. He sat down, started heckling me immediately.
Yeah.
I wasn't engaging with the audience at all. And he just like was like, it was his mission. And then I started kind of lightly roasting him, and he got really upset, and I gave him a chance to go back and forth. Like I let him talk into the mic.
Oof.
And which some comedians are like, no, I'm going to hold on to the mic.
I think there's nothing wrong with that because I mean, that's even more pressure for them to say something great.
Yeah.
Now you're truly putting them on
the spot. Even the playing ground, I was like, if you have some gold to say.
Yeah, say it. Because guess what? If it's great and people go nuts, I can play off that.
Exactly.
But chances are,
momentum.
You're going to say something really terrible.
Yeah.
And that's
which he did. He said multiple things that, he kept claiming to not be gay and stuff. And then he ended up touching my balls, by punching me.
And then, didn't you say, that's the most, gay thing you can do is to reach for my dick?
Right.
Yeah.
Man, was this during a Kill Tony show or during
that was in
the
original room of the Comedy Store?
Oh, just in the OR.
That was like after I'd done Kill Tony that night and was doing a set, working out on stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's the thing about stand-up that makes it the best and occasionally the worst is that there is that live aspect of it, and there's this thing where I don't think there's too many stories of that going on in a Broadway show. No one's heckling the Once on This Island frogs. Like, that's not how you jump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one's doing that shit.
I was a frog in Once on This Island.
So was I. That's why I pulled that.
Jerry.
Have you been a frog
in Once on This Island?
Did you just call me Jerry?
Yeah. Sorry. Don't do that? You don't like that?
I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy.
Jeremiah.
You call me Jer. You call me Jer a lot.
I do a lot, actually.
But you never call me Jerry. I was like, oh.
I'm sorry. That was a slip up, dude. Yeah, it didn't feel right.
It's funny. Some people try to call me, and I'm like, I'm not that guy.
What?
I've been called J-Watt, J-Dub.
Okay.
You're cool with Jer, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, all right. And because you're more of a man than that J-Watt guy.
By the way, Jerry is a different person. Jeremiah and Jerry,
they're completely different people.
Yeah.
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 What do you think of when you think of Jerry?
What's the deal? What's the deal with Jeremiah?
What's wrong with
Jerry? It's not Jerry, it's Jeremiah.
Boy, Seinfeld, you are really just reaching for straws.
Oh, man.
What's that? Straws? We don't even have them anymore. How can I reach for them? All right, dude.
The paper straws, that's crazy right now. Why ban the paper straws?
Where do you get your material from these days? Are you writing pre-show? Are you writing on the weekends?
I Some of my newer stuff has been very relationship based because just stuff I'm going through right now with my wife. She's at a place where she's wanting to have kids, and I'm not ready for that. So mm-hmm. I'm talking about that on stage and stuff like that. And
how is she with that?
Out of it, she's seen it. She's okay. seen it, and I think at first she was a little bit like, you know, are we still headed in the same?
Oh boy! Not only are you not direction. Wanting to have kids, you're yeah. using it for material.
Yeah. But it like we are headed, you know, eventually yeah. in that direction of mm-hmm. having kids eventually.
Yeah.
But the way I talk about it right now, I'm just like I'm just being really raw and honest. Like I'm not ready. Like I don't want to.
What are your reasons for not being ready? And you don't have to do the bit, but I'm just curious. Like.
I don't get into that on stage, but I think I'm more nervous really that too much will change with our personal lives, like mm-hmm. that'll shift things, like, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, that is, it's really hard to commit to certain things like relationships and children when we're stand-up comics, and all day, all night, every day, we hear our fellow comics walk up on stage and be like, marriage sucks, don't have kids. All right, on to the next comic. Marriage sucks, don't have kids. Fuck. Like, you're just like,
yeah.
you're just bombarded with that.
And it's hard because my only interactions with kids are on airplanes, and that's the worst.
That's literally the worst place. Wow.
I don't see kids. Yeah. Like, my wife works with kids, so yeah. she gets to see...
The good and the bad.
The good and the bad.
Yeah.
And I just see... I've only, you know, recently just seen... I've Yikes. Been around... I don't have a lot of friends with kids right now.
You've only seen kids screaming,
yeah.
Dropping iPads, and farting on people's heads.
And yeah. parents ignoring
opening
them.
Opening Dasani bottles really loud.
Okay, dude. Too soon.
Yeah, dude.
And
yeah.
you know what? Yeah, I do that. I do that. Yeah, dude. I do that. I'm a Dasani dude, yeah, dude.
A Dasani
I'm
dude.
I'm a Dasani dude, dude.
I put the Don Dasani.
There's, yeah. You've yet to see a kid who, like, sees an old lady struggling with her bag in the overhead compartment and is like, you want me to get that for you? Right? No. It's like, every kid on a plane is either, like, you know, bummed at how long the ride's going to be.
Yeah.
Bummed that they don't have... I mean, it's like, we've traveled enough to know that, like, yeah, some flights the charger's not going to work, or the Wi-Fi's down, or they don't have a TV on the seat. And you're like, all right, I'm making adjustments somehow.
Yeah.
But kids are just like... Life I also think over. Just conditioned to knowing that, especially if they're getting on a plane, they're somewhat spoiled. And they're just like, the fuck is this? Like, I've been sitting here for 20 seconds and I don't have snacks in my face.
Yeah. There was a kid on a plane recently, and Tony gives me crap about it because he's like, you didn't fix the situation. It just happened to organically yes. time out yes. perfectly for you.
Too.
And I'm like, no, I think I had the magic touch in this situation. These parents would not calm their kid. They were just letting them... And eventually, like, people are, like, turning around. I have headphones in. It's going over full blast headphones.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa, what's happening? And I took him out. I go, hey, buddy. Hey. We're all going to be okay. Okay? We're going to be good.
Jesus. And fucking Nicolas Cage on him. Hey, we're going to be okay.
I'm more of a child protector.
You want to watch Con Air? What?
Put
gone in 60 seconds.
Put the peanuts back in the basket.
Is that Cage?
Yeah. Trying.
Wait, from what? Does
That's
he say
from,
that?
From Put the Bunnet Back in the Box, because you said Con Air. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Put
yeah.
the bunnet back in the box.
That's pretty good. All right.
It's Cage trying to do a southern accent, but it's just, it's not working out too well for him.
I think if I try to do Cage, it'll just turn into my Owen Wilson, because they're bordering it out. I was like, well, calm down. What are you doing here? Oh, my God. Hey, we're all going to be okay. Okay? Wow. I think I'm going to make a good father.
That's actually a great bit. It's like Owen Wilson calming kids down on planes.
Hey, buddy. Hey, amigo. Hey. We're all going to be all right.
You're in the aisle seat, man. You get to pee whenever you want.
Hey, you going to go to the bathroom? Hey, you want to see the window? Oh, you can't. I'm going to shut it. Just kidding.
Hey, guys. Adam Ray here. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Wanted to take a quick second to talk to you about our sponsor, Away. What do? Well, they make affordable, high-quality suitcases that charge your phone. What? Look, I travel all the time, and when we started talking with these guys, I was like, what do you guys really offer that's above and beyond the normal suitcase? I mean, you can charge your phone on the suitcase. What? That was mind-blowing and kind of a giant selling point. And they started to tell me more about it. What they do, basically, they cut out the middleman, okay? Away is able to offer perfect luggage made with high-quality materials, and they sent me one. I can attest to this. I use it now every time I travel, which is almost every weekend, and the price is way lower than pretty much every luggage company, which is, you know, why they're killing the game. They have a variety of options, okay? So if you want different colors, sizes, they've got four sizes, a limited selection of colors. But the sizes come in carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, and the large. Okay, they've designed the perfect suitcase to make your travel experience stress-free. The carry-on bags, get this, feature two USB ports and a high-capacity battery that allows you to charge multiple devices while you're on the go. I'm talking phones, tablets, laptops. This is my biggest problem when I travel, is having dead batteries. And if you have it attached to your suitcase, what else do you need? I was freaking out when they told me, and then they sent the bag, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. That's how I talk when I get excited. So you never have to worry about a dead phone for a flight or finding an outlet at the airport or even on the plane, which a lot of them don't even have. And if they do, they don't even work. It's an ultra-durable, lightweight bag made with premium impact-resistant German polycarbonate. All right, it's smooth in every direction. Four 360-degree spinner wheels that won't get stuck or break, which is a big problem when you're Kevin McAllistering through the airport and you're running late, which I do a lot. So you're a smooth guide and ride. It's theft-proof, TSA-approved. The combination lock built is built to keep your belongings safe. And guess what? If you're an overpacker like me and like my mom, Puddin', you can fit everything you need. It's a patent-pending interior compression system that, tightly buckles in bulky items. I pack a lot. I'm not the best packer. But when I open it up, everything's not all over the place. It's still somehow in this, like, compartmentalized, safe, secure, organized clump of clothes. Comes with a lifetime guarantee, and if anything breaks, Away will fix or replace it for life. That's an insane guarantee. A lifetime guarantee. Anything breaks, they're going to fix it for life, okay? Carry-on sizes are compliant with all major U.S. airlines, and while maximizing the amount you can pack, free shipping within the U.S., Europe, or Australia, that's crazy, and there's a free risk 100-day trial period. So, guess what? If you want the bag, you get it. If you don't like it, if something's not jamming with you, if at any point you want to return it, you get a full refund, no questions asked. 100-day free trial period. So, this bag sounds too good to be true, but it's true, baby. I got one. I love it. Already ordered a second one, okay? They gave me one for free. Gonna buy another one. Bought one for my mom for Hanukkah, because that's the type of son I am. So, if you want to get your Away luggage right now, go, because we have a special offer, okay? $20 off a suitcase. Go to awaytravel.com/ALN and use the promo code ALN, and you'll get $20 off a suitcase right now by going to awaytravel.com/ALN, promo code ALN. That's awaytravel.com/ALN, promo code ALN, and get $20 off your suitcase. I'm telling you guys, it's my new favorite bag. I've been traveling for 20-plus years, and it feels good to find a... to find the right bag, and I didn't have to go anywhere. But now I do get to go away. And you can go away with a new bag if you go to awaytravel.com/ALN, promo code ALN. All right, back to the episode.
Wait, did you find out why the kid was going nuts?
Literally, it just worked out perfectly, and I looked at Tony after I did it, like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, sure, dude. You didn't, like, the time.
Oh, because you said it, and then he just...
Because I said it, and the kid immediately... And he calmed down. And like the other people, like,
kid whisper.
Like, did he just kid whisper? That sounds like the creepiest show.
Yeah, that's not, yeah. That is whisper. Nick Jr. is not picking that up.
No, you don't think so.
Hi, kids.
Shh, we gotta be quiet.
Your parents are coming home.
Kid whisper.
Next week.
Oh no.
Come on in.
Seriously.
Did you make the pizza like I told you to?
Yeah.
Through text message, because I have your number. Oh god.
So you have to have, like, go through that situation, and because we've all been on planes where, like, sometimes the kid's noisy and you see the parent trying, like, they're doing something.
Yeah, yeah,
like they're walking the kid up and down,
so
yeah.
Over it, they're like, yeah. I'm not gonna do anything right
wow
now.
So you're like, all right, well,
I'm gonna little... I was on the other side of the plane. I was like, hey, like, I raised my voice over aisles of people.
All right, J-Watt,
you know, just trying to
J-Kins.
Be a good citizen up in the air as well. You know what I'm saying?
Jerry, what, what? Yeah.
I need to sign some paperwork.
But that, dude, now, was there in that moment where you thought to yourself, maybe I can have kids?
No.
No.
No, that was just a coincidence.
No, I was just like, no, I'm just, I am communicating well with people.
Yeah. Well, and how could you have kids now when you already kind of have a kid? Your album, Regan and Watkins. How's that for a transition, everybody?
Brad is pretty good at transitions.
Yeah.
Driving the bus, taking a turn on Transition Avenue.
Woo!
Yeah, this is a great album.
Yeah, and went to the top of the charts.
Yeah.
On the comedy charts, which is really freaking awesome, because you, like, did you look to see who else was, like, on those charts with you? You're, like, looking, like, there's Gabriel and Jim Gaffigan and Regan Watkins.
The first weekend we debuted at number one on iTunes, and we were thrilled, and it was pretty surreal to see some of the other groupings of, like, under the top 10. The Lonely Island had put out a music comedy album recently. Weird Al was on there.
Yeah.
And Sandler, his 100% Fresh.
So wow.
You know,
pretty good company.
Good company.
That's sure. Crazy.
It's a great album. Music, comedy, the whole thing.
Yeah.
If you want to get a taste, maybe go to YouTube, type in the words, I just went soft.
Oh, yeah. You like that music video.
I do like that music.
That's the one with Pauly Shore.
That one's with Brian Redband and his girlfriend Janice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pauly Shore is our stepdad music video.
I love that one. Because I have a stepdad, so I can relate.
I base it off of who is, his name is actually Robbie, and he loves the music video.
Off who?
Pauly Shore played the version of somebody who's real in my life.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Was that very surreal for this person?
My mom is actually married to a guy named Robbie.
Does Pauly...
And Pauly plays Robbie in that music video.
Did Pauly and Robbie meet to try to get some character research?
No. We shot out
here. Dude, I need to meet the real Robbie, dude, if I'm going to be Robbie,
dude,
right?
If I'm going to be Robbie, then I got to be Robbie. So you got to fly me to KC, and then you got to fly me back to LA,
because it's what? Because it's Robbie. Because I want to do that flea market, bro. I heard that show rule, dude.
Dude, I'm there next weekend, bro.
They got their plumbing license back. That was a great video. That song's super fucking catchy, too. It was definitely in my head for at least a week. Mm-hmm. How did you guys put this together?
Pat Regan and I have been working together. We originally, like, around the time we started doing music together, we were doing the Kill Tony Band together.
All right.
And we came together and realized we had, like, a strong comedic connection and musicality. He's a very talented musician, and we're good yin and yang to each other.
Yeah.
And we started writing songs, and we're like, we want to do a legit album, but we want to do it studio, but we don't want to record it just in front of a stand-up audience, because that's, I feel like, a much more traditional path right now, which is dope. But for us, we wanted to do something a little bit more of a throwback, where it was studio recorded, like a Tenacious D kind of thing.
Yeah.
Audio sketches and stuff like that.
And I think for music, too, that's how you listen to music. Like, you want that studio sound for the music, and it really enhanced it. One reason why I think people love the Lonely Island so much is because the beats are actually good.
Well, it sounds like actual music.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing.
And you guys are both talented musicians, so the songs are catchy. Without, like, if you said whatever lyrics, like, they'd be catchy songs.
Yeah.
But then you're doing hilarious lyrics on top of that, and it's just awesome.
That was the goal. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. There's a real, I don't know, man. Comedy music is
It can get a bad stigma pretty quick.
It totally can. Oh, I mean, shit. I mean, you know, we've all jammed quite a bit on the jam, and you've been on stage with Ave and I for a bunch of stuff, and I'm always in the mindset of, like, if you got skills that you've honed and that you've been blessed with and that you can take to the stage, like, that stage is yours to do what you want with, you know? Which is why, you guys doing that and making the album and when I started doing that with Jeff Scott and now Ave, and I feel like there's so many other things to do, like, to on the stage to just make people laugh. It's not strictly, doesn't have to be just you and the mic and jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Use everything in the tool belt. Why not?
How long
did you, you know, you've been playing sax for a while.
Yeah.
And that kind of, if you hadn't started doing that, like, you probably wouldn't have.
I mean, honestly.
And that wasn't with the intentions of doing a comedic thing with the sax. It was like.
No, I just liked sax. And,
yeah.
And I don't know how it became so infused in a lot of the things that I'm doing comedically, but it's, you know, it's helped take me around the world to different places, like
yeah,
having that as like an a skill on top of being a comedian. So it's
yeah
it's
I mean Steve Martin wrote in his book, you'll use everything.
Yeah.
And you really have, because yeah, because like you said, like you, it's taken you all over the world. And Kill Tony, you guys did an international tour.
Yeah, we went to Europe, and it was pretty awesome. We were in London.
Had you been?
I'd never been.
Whoa.
The farthest I had been away from home was Canada. So
dang.
Yeah.
Culture shock?
Special. I wasn't culture shock. It was more like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like, you know, in different theme parks that have their different sections or whatever.
Yes, right.
It was like, this is what they're going for, but it's the actual country, you know, the actual cobblestone
Ireland
and stuff. We're like, oh, this is so cool,
the real thing.
Yeah,
the
bridges,
so,
like,
yeah, so like when they're in New Hampshire, like, oh, and come visit our old town, you're like, yeah, oh no, this is the fucking
is
old town.
Town.
Yeah. It's not a theme.
Yeah.
What did you guys do in your days off? Did you try to sightsee and meet the locals?
No, we it was a pretty quick turnaround, because we go hard in the paint when we tour. We were in Europe. We ended up doing within a week. We did five Kill Tonys within a week, because we did our show in LA on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We did the three in Europe, and then we were back on that Monday to do
Kill
Tony again.
Wow! No way!
Yeah.
So you weren't even gone a week.
Yeah. We
and then you went to
it.
Three
like
shows.
A,
wow.
Dang, like a 15-hour flight or some shit?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, 12, 15, somewhere around there. Yeah.
What'd you do on that flight?
I slept for like 7 or 8 of the hours.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm a good sleeper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a very good sleeper on flights. And then I woke up, I was like, oh no, there's a whole another half of this thing. And that's when I started, like, Joel was with me, and we were watching movies and just like being dumb.
Yeah.
And like Tony came from the back at one point. We were like little kids, like, yay, Tony's back.
Our friend.
Yeah. So we're just like lined up, like just riding. And
you guys play pool a lot too on the road.
I play a lot of pool, Tony. Yeah.
You love it.
I love it.
Why do you love pool
really
so much?
Do. Why?
Yeah.
I think it's one of the, I love it as a way to unwind after shows, because it's one of those things where. Because
you don't drink.
I don't drink. So what's nice about that is Tony's really cool about that, where he's very accommodating to that, where other people could be like, no, we're going to do this. Like, and you're with me, but he's super cool about that, where he's like, hey,
let's find something we can all do.
Pool hall has drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Bars don't have pool tables. So he'll try to find a bar or a pool hall for us to go to, because that way him and Red Band can grab drinks and Joel, and then that way we're playing pool and
great.
We're all doing the same thing. We're all able to hang out.
That's considerate.
Yeah, and that's got to be so great to do that with your friends, to have travel buddies, because like that's the thing about touring. The only downside is that sometimes you get lonely. So the fact that you're over there in Europe, but then you got your buddies with you.
Yeah.
That's got to be the best part.
I mean, that's where I feel like super, super grateful to be traveling with friends and stuff. Because as stand-up comedians, you know, we've all had to do gigs where we have to go somewhere alone over a weekend. And you end up in your hotel room. You're kind of dreading it because you don't know anybody. You don't know anybody local to that town. But with something that we're doing with Kill Tony, like all those guys are like brothers at this point. Like,
sure.
We all like are very good at traveling with each other, and we all kind of have, like, we all know each other's quirks to a degree, so we know how to like work with it.
Yeah. Are there comics right now that you really get a kick out of watching or being on the same show with, like for Stand Up on the Spot? I know you now, I don't think you had this last time I was on, where the comic is up there with you at the end of their set, right?
Yeah, that's something that I just started doing earlier this year, and it's really kind of tied in the show for me, like how. Because the way I used to do it before, where I would just kind of host and I would just do a set at the very top and then all the other comics would do sets, that works. But it, for me personally,
I want to be involved more.
I want to be involved more. And it's also like, I found an opportunity to be able to riff with some of my favorite comics this way.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta be selfish like that.
Yeah, and then that way it's also like it makes more sense, like, oh, the reason why he's hosting this is he's good at working off other people because my sets are 50-50 at the top of the show. I sometimes eat it real hard because I'm setting the plate.
Yeah.
And sometimes they haven't bought into the concept yet. So they don't trust what's going on.
Right. They have to see it happen
they
first.
They have to see it happen.
And then go, oh, that's what that. And if it's one of those nights where the set doesn't work, that it's great because it gives you a chance to come back on stage.
Redemption.
Redemption. Yeah, yeah, and also, as someone who's done the show, it's really cool then because... I can riff for a little while, but then after a bit, you're like, all right, I'm done. Like, come help me. Like,
well, what I like to do with that, too, is if I hear something in the back during somebody's set, if they're improvising, I can bring up something that I think might be good, a good tag or something.
Whoa.
That they can lead them into us expanding upon that, and then they can maybe walk away with a bit that might even be a little bit stronger than what it was just
absolutely
them thinking solo. So it's just, yeah.
Yeah,
fuck.
It's such a fun show. It's such a great time. Like you're involved in so many things.
Who on that show? I want to know though. Do you? Because obviously, like you know, Rogan, Pete. Like who are truly guys that you see? I think you even mentioned in a post or something about Rogan and how prolific he is with coming up with material. Because I think everybody you have on the show does a good job of yes anding and taking words and whether they do a minute riff or a 5 minute thing. I remember last time I did it, there was somebody said something about like, it was either like stabbing or robbery or like burglar or something.
Yeah.
And so I went on this whole riff about, you know, if somebody like attacked me and was trying to steal my money or whatever, then my go-to would just be to pull my dick out and start like, you know, masturbating because then then I'd have to make a decision if they still want to try to take my money around happening or stabbing or whatever. And then somebody yelled something else out and then it kind of like went down another tangent and was able to tie it all together. And it was just so, there was a point where I was like, oh, I could have bailed on this. Cause my first instinct was like, dude, I don't like know, like, you know, but you just have to challenge yourself to go, all right, like, what do I have to say about that? Like burglars and like, I don't think about that a lot, but that's what's great about it. And I see Rogan, like you mentioned in your post, like just truly at the top of that.
Yeah. Game. Well, he's one of those guys who he does multiple podcasts a week where he's doing several hours and he's talking about everything.
He's got opinions on everything. He's ready to go.
Yeah. So he's very well versed and he knows his own voice so well as a comic. And he always does a little bit longer than the other comics. I put him up at the end and I have him do a little bit longer because it's like, why not? You know?
Yeah.
Like he's so good at it and he wants to. It's a way for him to kind of mine material and stuff like that. So he's cool to watch. I love watching guys like Rory Scovel and Todd Glass, who are just super silly and riffy.
Yeah.
And guys like Pete. Anybody who is just willing to kind of play, you know?
Yeah.
Like Eric Andre gets really wacky with the show.
What? Not Eric Andre.
Yeah.
Like what?
That doesn't sound like him. He's always so straight.
He just has this, he changes the energy in the room as soon as he touches the stage. It's just... People are excited to see him, and he knows that. And he's like, I'm going to take this. And he's like I saw him. He did his birthday show in downtown LA. It was like he came out, and it was like I was watching a rock concert. He's like, how's everybody doing? Mm-hmm. And like they were just like, yeah. They were losing their minds. Whoa. And it was pretty cool to see like that. Like he would do jokes. He's like, and that's what I'm talking about.
Like, and then Nick Nolte showed up. That's so cool.
Dude, Eric Andre sounds like he's like very much like dude.
That's great, dude. That's a really good impression.
Eric Andre is almost like Hulk Hogan.
A little bit.
It's the same.
It's definitely same.
Let me tell you something, brother. You know, it's that kind of like,
oh wow,
dude, I know. Yeah,
it's very
You sound a little bit like Busey right there too, which reminded me of when we went to the Impractical Joker show. And I paid you, right?
Yeah, you did.
Tell the story.
Oh, I gotta know this. I don't know this story.
What was the song that was playing?
Fuck, that does add to it.
Ace of Base. I saw the sign.
It was something silly, something upbeat.
Yeah, something silly and upbeat, like a pop song.
But something like not too fast so that you could kind of like slow jam dance to it.
Yeah.
And almost be like, almost like TLC's Red Light Special.
Yeah. And we were hanging out backstage after the show, and it came up organically where like...
So the Greek Theater, the Impractical Joker yeah. show. And there's a lot of celebs hanging out at the after party,
sure,
right? So
sure, sure.
We look over at one point and we're
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I'm hanging with Adam and we're like, that's Gary Busey over there.
Yeah.
And I came up somehow where I was like, I'm gonna sing to him or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm gonna
like,
serenade no, him
and
to
Adam's
the song.
Like, yeah. And Adam's like, no.
Momento was like, you're not gonna do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. But I would see that. I would watch that. And then I said,
and Adam put money on the line. He's like, I will pay you if you serenade Gary Busey right now. And I was like, oh, done, dude.
How much was it?
What is it, $50 or something like that?
I think it was more than that.
Is that $100?
I think it was $100.
$100.
I swear to God, it was $100. Because I remember when I said it, I go, oh, I think he's going to do it anyway.
You're like, Jeremiah, is this person's way too crazy to just throw that
Yeah. And because I remember I gave you $100 cash at the store because I was like, you even said like, don't worry about it. And I was like, nope, I said it, man.
Yeah.
And you fucking did it.
Yeah. I was like, dude, I was probably going to do it anyway. And you're like, no, dude, I pushed you over the edge. I said I would do it. And I was like, all right, well, respect.
And it was also
Adam
worth
Ray
it.
Ray is like a Lannister. He does always pay his debts.
Yeah. Thank you. And,
but you
walked in front of Busey. This was worth the $100 because he slowly walked around. Busey's sitting there mid conversation. Jerry's just like, first of all, we get to see him just enter Busey's space,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, Busey's space should be a reality show on TLC.
Done.
Yeah.
Where it's like his cribs.
Come on over to Busey's space. Hey, man, don't even worry about that.
I would want him.
I got a garage. You want to go to my garage?
Can we combine Tiny House Nation and just Gary Busey? And just
sure.
have Gary Busey in a tiny house?
Hey, yes.
Man, what's going on with this tiny house?
So he saunters over, real sexy, gets over in front of Busey's eyeline, and then just starts going, we're like, oh, he's going to dance in front of him real silly. Starts like pointing to Busey and basically just being like, this song's for you, and just singing right to him real slow, got real close, and we just see Busey make talk, just kind of go.
He just starts.
Right, and just kind of looking over, and then started to kind of like, big old Busey smile.
Yeah.
And then you got real close, and he just committed and did it for another, like, at least 90 seconds. And then at the end, just kind of like the song stopped, which was great because then it was almost like seeing a stripper know her shift was over. Yeah. You know, like,
gathering the ones.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of took a moment. We're like, and then,
I bid you adieu.
Yeah. No, yeah. But then didn't you, like, you went up to him and you said, like, you know, big fan? Or did you just walk away?
I think I walked away because he was with a woman that night, and I was like, and she was loving it. She thought it was hilarious, but at first he was like,
"What's this guy doing?" This guy's
dude. I mean, I have respect, but it went up a notch.
That's $100 money well spent.
Fuck yeah, dude! I probably would have paid $150 if that was advertised at like Caesar's Palace or something.
It's like on the board.
Someone surprised white male dance in front of Busey. How much is this ticket again?
Yeah,
$150. All right,
let's go there.
How long is it? 90 seconds.
Yeah,
it's probably good. Is it hot? Yeah,
definitely hot.
But like that's what you
commercial.
Do.
Yeah, it's definitely
some kid going. Is it hot? It's definitely hot.
Kid whisperer.
Oh no, he's back.
Oh God!
Don't go on the show.
Oh, you might have a new character.
Blue's Clues, more like Blue Balls.
That's what he said when he got fired. The host off Blue's Clues. It's like, Blue, I'll give you a clue. I got a dick full of clues.
Yeah.
Oh, God, all right. We'll edit that out. You know what? We're keeping it in.
Nope. Yeah.
And you know what? It's back in.
It's back in. You took a vote. It's back in.
Yeah.
But no, you go full into all your characters, and that's why they work, because you commit so hard. I remember I stopped by the store one time, and it was during the, before it was on Netflix, Historical Roasts.
Yeah.
And it was the serial killer edition, and you were doing.
Oh, who'd you play?
You were doing.
I'm Jack the Ripper.
Oh, my God.
And you, I do this character named Jack the Ripper where he says his name a lot, blowing his identity. And he's a much larger-than-life person that you would think would be a serial killer. He's got long, curly hair. He's got a big old top hat and a cane and stuff like that. Jack the Ripper.
What do you wear a top hat for, Jack?
I had a gun in there.
Oh, you think that's the best spot to hide it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, that settles that.
Do you want to know who I've killed? I'll tell you.
Sure.
A lot of people.
Wow.
I'm Jack the Ripper. Yeah.
What's your favorite cereal?
Trix.
He was just this super, like a lot of the other people
overly
that were
honest.
Yeah, like this a lot of the other comics who also did great at what they did, like
yeah.
played it more kind of real, like kind of like sure. all right, this is how Ted Bundy would be, this is how,
oh yeah,
but then
Tony
like
killed it, yeah.
Oh my god,
Tony to Ted Bundy? Bundy,
yeah,
it was
whoa.
So
was
good.
It scary,
yeah, he what my favorite,
hey guys,
joke,
I'm one of the number one rising young murderers in the world.
my favorite joke that he said, he goes, knock knock, and then he goes, who's there? He goes, nobody, nothing's going on behind here, nothing. Like the way he said it, I butchered it, but
yeah,
no, like,
yeah,
you get it. He's playing a murder during knock knock.
But they're all kind of playing it for real, and then you're coming out as this absurd like if Jack the Ripper had his own Nickelodeon kid show.
Yeah.
That's who you played Jack
the Ripper.
I just
thought it would be a funny angle for a murderer to be telling you exactly who he is, first of all, and him like being a larger than life boisterous character because, yeah. you know, a serial killers are usually, you know, they keep to themselves.
He was so quiet. He was always
I never saw it coming, but then like,
yeah. hello, I'm going to kill you in broad daylight because I'm Jack the Ripper.
Dude, I want to
fucking funny.
Committing to that character because some people that I saw do it just kind of wore the outfit and I was like,
that'll happen for sure.
You're missing an opportunity to play, which why are we doing this if you're not gonna do that ever? Yeah. If you get an opportunity, you're just gonna, you know, and also especially for something like that when it's a historical figure that is I mean they're pretty much all past, right? The figures that are
for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So it's like take an opportunity to really to make us connect more with the jokes and see that they're hitting. If you take on that character and really get into that persona, then we can get on board more with seeing like the way Jaleel did with Muhammad Ali and who else did he play?
So Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela.
His Nelson Mandela was
unbelievable. Amazing. And I heard he did that like last minute and I was like, yeah, he's also an actor and just knows how to fucking jump in. But like
that South African accent, which I cannot get that accent. It's so tricky.
It's a difficult one. Yeah.
Have you tried?
I have, and it's not good. It's horrible because it's like
I'd ask you to try, but I wonder what sort of
like
letters
Brad's
we'd get.
Nolte.
Yeah.
I'm from South America.
No, not about just change.
First of all, I said America, not Africa.
No, yeah, it's like part British but African. It's
a tricky one.
It's a crazy accent, and he nailed it. But yeah, he just went full into it.
Yeah,
yeah. So like I never get why, kind of to echo what Adam's saying, is that people don't just go with it.
I think it's out of a lot of people's comfort zone to really lose yourself in certain characters. Yeah. For me, I enjoy it so much because I feel like it's almost a luxury more than anything to be able to go deep into something.
Oh, you damn near scared me on Josh Wolf's show, Josh Wolf's Facebook
Shanks.
Show. We don't know. There's a secret guest, and all of a sudden Jeremiah walks out as Shanks.
Yeah, he's an escape convict. He was in an orange prison jumpsuit, do-rag. He's got a grill in. He's super cross-eyed this, man.
I love this guy, actually. What's his name again?
Shanks.
Oh, nice, dude. Hey, Shanks, where are you from?
Yo, Houston, dog.
Nice.
We got that drip-drip there, dog. Yeah.
Got that what?
That drip-drip.
What's that?
What's a drip?
Yeah, yeah, that zizzer, man.
Oh, that's what you drink?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is that that's what you drink at the clubs, or...?
You know, at home, in a club, wherever I'm at, if I'm in my cell.
So you're in and out of jail a lot.
Oh, man. On the rag.
On the rag?
On the rag. Yeah, my girl on the rag right now. Is that a problem right now?
Yeah, no,
no. I said on the rag.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
She's on the rag, on the rag.
Yeah, on the rag, on the rag. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Do you make friends in prison, or?
Oh, you know it, man.
Okay. Like
sometimes even close ones.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I think you know what that means with a tongue curl.
Are you in a gang right now? Are you in a gang? Have you like picked a side?
Nah, man. You know, I'm like a community player right now, dog.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you doing
kind of friends with everybody?
Okay, so you can walk over to like the black table or the Mexican table.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay, okay. And then you walk over to the white supremacist
table. Yeah, I had sex with all those dudes.
Okay. Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. I don't discriminate, man.
Yeah.
Man, if it's a butt, what? Yeah.
I think you have that tattooed on your neck, don't you?
Yeah, right, right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Am I pointing to the right?
Yeah. If it's a butt, what is a great tagline. It great way to live.
That, yeah, you were committing so hard to that character. It was like legit scary.
Well,
me.
I was in the jumpsuit. I was fully in Shanks, and I was like, "What's up, little man?" And I started spooning Brad.
Yeah.
Like, and we started slow dancing. I'm like, "I'm gonna take you somewhere special, dog." And just Brad's that. Like, "Where does the character end in Jeremiah?"
Yeah.
Begin?
Like,
whoa.
Like, there was one point I didn't do this, but I wanted to just stop and be like, "I've had you in my home."
Yeah. What are you doing? You know my wife.
Like a little kid in Hook grabbing Robin Williams' face. Where are you, Jeremiah?
Oh, there you are, Peter.
Rufio. Rufio. Thank you, Nick. It's going to be a no for the part of Rufio. I think we're going to get an Asian guy.
I'm Dustin Hoffman.
Nick, you're not
I
Dustin
want my
Hoffman.
Baby, I want. Me.
No. Nick Nolte, you're not going to get the part of Dustin Hoffman by saying, "I'm Dustin Hoffman." His name's Captain Hook in the movie.
I mean,
you can't be Captain Hook. I'm sorry.
I just saw Dustin Hoffman leave a moment ago. I guess I'll put in my name for that. Hook.
Yeah. Okay. The line is, and this is could get rewritten.
What's the line?
The line is, if it's a butt, what?
If it's a butt, what?
Okay. Actually,
maybe.
Oh my God. Hey, it's me. Will Forte, I totally want to audition right now.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Will, thank you so much for joining us. All right.
I totally want to read for the role of Captain James Hook.
All right, so the line is, I've been killing pirates and Indians my entire life.
Oh my God, I've been killing pirates and Indians my entire life.
But I gotta be honest. I could really go for a Chipotle burrito.
I could really go for a Chipotle burrito right now.
Well, he's obviously a consideration.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What? The Red Hot Chili Peppers are here? Anthony Kiedis? What? Oh, is Jeremiah going to do material from his act right now? Oh, my God.
Is he, Anthony?
Is Anthony Kiedis going to do an ad for Chipotle? You just mentioned Chipotle.
Yeah.
Beep, bop, boom, ba-dum, bop, chum. Beep, bop, boom, bum, bum, boom. Black beans, sour cream, chicken, or steak. Barbacoa beef on your lunch break. Sriracha, lime, rice, feta, vegetables. And guacamole and chips are incredible. Hey, Chipotle, why you so yummy? It seems like everyone agrees, no matter what sex, age, religion, social status, or birthright, that you're tasty.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they just bombarded you. Yes, totally.
You got that Caliendo brain, man.
Oh, that's so
that's
good.
That's impressive.
Man. That's and now
Anthony
Kiedis really,
is such a like obscure but like
mainstream.
Super famous
it's
mainstream.
Weird. Yeah,
it's like you don't think of that being something that you would want to hear impersonated, or but especially for like
he's one of people's favorite impressions I've done on Kill Tony. People
amazing.
Love when I do Kiedis on there.
And then if you don't know what to say, you can just say like California, and then it's good.
I'm done in California,
and then you're good. Yeah, you're fine.
Is there an impression that you have been requested to do, or that you're like, I got to learn a Katie Couric? You know, something that no one's expecting.
Huh? What is? I do like a lot, like I end up learning a lot of musical impressions that don't end up going anywhere, that like that are like current or that are like alt rock and different stuff like that, that I'm like, oh, because I try to get one different impressions down that I'm like, oh, this artist might take off. Do you know what I mean? Like if something comes on the radio or something.
Yeah.
So I try to have foresight to get ahead, because I don't know anybody personally that as a Will Forte, that, you know what I mean? Like I try to do some more random ones than the main, like, you know, Walken and Arnold and
those ones
that are like
the ones that have been mastered.
They've been mastered.
Yeah.
There's no need for new, even though I just literally I literally did a George W. Bush and a Bill Clinton recently on Kill Tony.
Yeah,
but the context is different. Clinton is in the news again. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And people have been they wanted me to do a Clinton forever because I play sax. They're like, please do Bill Clinton.
Right. Yeah. It just adds one more thing to it.
There's no comedy rule book, dude. There's no just because Dana mastered George, means, or George, senior, that nobody could ever do it. I mean, there are certain ones that people have done, like, to that magnitude, where you're going to see it and go and think of that. But also for the context of, like, that show, that's what
makes
it great.
And it's a one-time thing. Like, if you were doing I would say one of the impressions no one's allowed to touch is John Madden, because it's like, okay, that's Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, dude, if anyone tried.
But if you were doing the Hall of Fame game, Kill Tony, one night only, and you could do a John Madden. Oh,
right.
But also, that environment has never, you've never seen Madden give young comics critique. So that's why you have a
different
jurisdiction.
Leeway,
exactly. So
you don't do a Madden, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that voice, I don't even know how he, is that somebody that you as, like...
I didn't grow up watching Madden too much.
But I mean, Caliendo.
Oh, Caliendo? Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up watching him. I love what he does. He's phenomenal.
He just posted videos of him doing his John Gruden with John Gruden.
It's unreal.
And it's, you're like, I don't, what the fuck? Yeah, like, it's the same face. It's everything.
There's been, one of my career highlights, a couple of the times that I've had moments where I've gotten to do the impression with the celebrity or with a very well-known comedian, like I did Joe Rogan for Joe Rogan.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Which is so cool. And then I did Jeff Foxworthy for Ron White.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which was great. Like my whole angle, like I played Jeff Foxworthy and our buddy Chroma Chris Dillon played Bill Engvall, and then Joel Jimenez played Larry the Cable Guy, and then we had Ron White as our fourth. Right.
Yeah,
so
dude.
It was like
perfect. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I mean, what a cool thing to say you did, like you were in the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like hypothetically. But he also played along, which was great.
He was so cool about it.
He's the man, dude.
He said he sent it to Jeff later.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you guys could, if he came on, you'd have to do
Jeff. I would have to do Jeff.
Right?
Jeff. Right. Absolutely.
Because two Jeffs, like that, just because you
two Jeffs don't make a ride. I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
The album is Reagan and Watkins. Your podcast, Jeremiah Wonders, is fucking
one of the
great.
Most fun podcasts to do. You have a voice box. You can do different characters. It's nothing but riffing. It's so great. It's so much fun to do and challenge you as a comic. And it's one of the most fun podcasts to do. So
thanks, man.
Jeremiah Wonders, and you just had. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to. You just had Melissa on. And I want to listen to that episode.
It's a fun one, man. We did a couple because we've all known Melissa and we're so thrilled about everything that's going on with her right now.
Yeah.
But we've known her impressions and what she can do. So I put a little prep work into that episode where I was like, okay, what impressions can kind of go with each other and stuff like that. Yep. We did a duet. We did an Anthony Kiedis and Christina Aguilera duet.
Yes.
On there,
oh my God.
And we did a Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears duet.
Oh my God.
Which was super
fun. Post breakup?
So they were, it was a
mid fuck?
It was a Mickey Mouse Club reunion. Oh, so they were coming back to that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So great.
Check that out. And killtony.com for all those tour dates.
TonyHinchcliffe.com for all the tour dates. That's where.
And Kill Tony Podcast, stand up at the spot at the Comedy Store. Basically, if you see a show that's in Los Angeles that is amazing, Jeremiah's on it in some way, shape, or form.
Well, that's
so, there you go.
It's very nice. It's the nicest thing I've ever
Hey, Will, is Last Man on Earth coming back for season 4?
Oh my God, please don't bring that up. That's, it's totally not. Very unfortunate, because you know, I was a big fan of that.
I love that show. I loved it.
It was one of my favorite shows ever.
It was so funny. And,
I wish that they were making more episodes of that show.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Will Forte is my wife's favorite impression for me to do.
Yeah.
Only time that she has fangirled out.
Did you meet him when he was at the jam?
Yeah.
Great.
I've gotten to do a handful of shows with him. He's
the man.
The coolest.
Have you done Forte for Forte?
I haven't done that yet.
Oh boy.
I haven't done that yet.
Well, that needs to happen.
It will happen.
As Will Forte, what would you ask Will Forte?
How are you so cool? I mean, oh my God. Is it okay if Is it okay if you have sex with my wife? Because my wife would totally love it.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.